Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
White guy. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool, but he fakes it anyway. He may not have a clue and he may not have style, but everything he lacks, well, he makes up in denial. So don't debate.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, Attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting from the United States of Weed.
You know it.
In the middle of the mitten, a beautiful green nutrient field. We are pure Michigan. For those that are just tuning in, listening around the world, we love our local listeners. If you look at the map of the United States, the state of Michigan is a mitten.
Yes, a big hand.
Big hand. It blows my mind, and we say it all the time, that more people don't know that.
I never been able to figure that out. If you look at the palm of your right hand, that's the state of Michigan right there.
Yeah, just
and
flip
we're right
it
in
up.
The middle. And we're right,
right in the middle.
Middle,
yep.
Right smack
yep.
dab in the middle for all of you listening in India and Sweden and China
and places Canada.
And Canada. Yes, today this is our Canada Spotlight Show. Lots of cannabis talk coming from Canada. So we'll be spotlighting Canada on the show today.
Half my family lives in Canada.
Do they really?
They do, yeah. When it came from the old country,
okay.
Half of my relatives went up to Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, we opened the show with one of my favorite groups, Top 5 right now, The Offspring, Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Top 5 right now.
Yeah, Top 5 right now. We were going to play the outfield.
Yeah, but they're not.
Josie's on a vacation far away. That's all I know.
Yeah, okay.
But what a huge show. We're going to be talking about Canada.
That's right. Our neighbors to the north.
Our neighbors to the north.
At least in Michigan they are.
Yeah. And growing up in Metro Detroit, when I was 15, we were crossing the border and hanging out at Canadian bars.
All the time.
No, all the time.
When we because get, the drinking yeah. age in Canada was 19
yeah,
or 18?
Did you hear how old I said I was?
No.
I said I was 15. I didn't say okay. I was going over to drink.
Okay. Well, not at 15, but no, at 19, you probably were.
We were going over there because we heard the French-Canadian women were pretty fly, so we wanted to go over there. They were foxy back then. Oh, foxy ladies.
Oh, man. You know, I've only been to Canada a couple of times in my life, and I've talked about this before on this show, that even though Canada and the United States are very close to each other, there's still some pretty good differences between the two nations.
Canada is a massive country.
Yes, it is.
With provinces. Can you name the provinces?
I can name Saskatchewan and Alberta.
Vancouver.
Vancouver's a city.
No, British, Vancouver. Right, Vancouver's, I know Vancouver.
Vancouver's a city.
Oh,
British
right.
Columbia.
British
is
Columbia,
is
there
the
you
province
go. Ontario.
Ontario.
Montreal.
Montreal's a city, too.
I'm naming cities.
Yes, and we're talking provinces.
All right, what province is Montreal in?
Quebec.
Quebec.
Yes.
Well, how'd you say it?
Quebec.
No, it's not.
That's not
is it Quebec?
It's Quebec.
Not Quebec?
Even though it's Q-U, the U is basically saying
okay.
Quebec. There's Newfoundland. There's Prince Edward Island. There's, I know a lot about Canada.
How do you know all this?
There's Northwest Territories. I'm smart. Let's see. There's Baffin Bay. There's
how about
Hudson
the Yukon?
Bay. The Yukon is part of Canada. That's
I want to go through the Yukon and meet up with Parker Schnabel. One of my favorite Gold Rush participants, Parker Schnabel.
I'm like, I was going to say,
love Parker Schnabel.
Parker Schnabel.
But hey, for those just tuning in.
Yes.
And for our longtime listeners, please bear with us. We're on a new platform, Libsyn, and we are we're now on Spotify.
Spotify.
So if you have the Spotify iTunes. App, download the Spotify app. Yep. Just type in my name, Todd Levitt Law Show. iTunes as always. Or if you have an Android, go to the Android podcast app. I'm a criminal defense attorney. I have been practicing for 24 years. I started doing a radio show back in Metro Detroit downstate around 2000 when I relocated to the middle of the state of Michigan, pure Michigan baby, met up with 98.5. And
The rest is history.
We've been doing a show quite some time. And Craig Russell, you have been in the radio business for quite some time.
I am older than you are. No,
you're not.
No, I'm not.
How old are you?
I'm 48.
You are.
But 28 years I've been doing the radio thing.
Yeah.
So
we teamed up and we got a great show. I do practice law. People ask, people who are just tuning in, are you just a radio guy, lawyer?
No,
I practice 24 hours, 7 days a week. I'm a criminal defense attorney. And I practice for those in Michigan from the middle of the Mitten all the way to the great state of Superior across the bridge.
Otherwise known as the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, trial attorney, drunk driving. I'm a specialist in everything cannabis. I'm a cannabis consultant. I defend the Medical Marijuana Act. I defend your constitutional rights. That's why we talk so much about this.
And now all you need to know is this. 989-772-6000.
This is not a solicitation.
Todd Levitt.
No.
Yeah, but the jingle makes it easier.
Yeah, but this show is not a solicitation for my office.
But if you did
And driver's license restoration.
If you need help, Todd's the man to call. Because if he can't help you, he knows hundreds of lawyers all across the state.
The best
ones.
I know hundreds, but hold on, Craig. I know hundreds, but there's a handful on my hand that come to mind who I would refer you to.
Exactly. Right. But that's the point. You can always refer you to people if maybe he can't help you with your case, especially and now at this point, even if you say somewhere out of the state of Michigan, maybe you're in Alabama and you need help there.
Matt Green.
Exactly. Or maybe you need help somewhere else. You've got other people.
Question.
Answer.
We're going to be talking about the effect that Canadian legalization of cannabis is going to have on the border states across the country. That's going to be one of our topics.
Okay, that's not a question, though.
Well, no, that is a question.
Okay, what's your question?
I have a question
coming up. I'm just all full of everything.
Right? Yeah, it's okay. If you were a witness on the stand, you'd be a bad witness.
I'd be a hostile witness.
Yeah,
no,
you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't?
No, because you would talk too much.
Okay.
And you would say too much. Because I wasn't done asking the question.
Are you telling me I should shut the hell up?
Pretty much.
Okay.
But no, if I was cross-examining you, I would let you just go on and on.
But you're not.
You would be the best.
This isn't court, thank God.
Right, but if this was court and I asked you a question, and you know, when I prepare individuals for testimony,
right,
I tell them, listen to the question.
Answer yes.
It could just be a one-word answer, yes
right.
or no.
Exactly.
Do not elaborate. And so when I'm preparing my witnesses for trial to defend one of my clients,
it
will take days to get that witness in a position where they understand trial preparation.
Right.
Because let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What city were you born in?
Kalamazoo.
How old are you?
48.
What station do you work for?
98.5 UPS.
Those are
basically
one word answers.
One subject answer.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not, you know, where were you born? Well, I was born in Kalamazoo, but then when I was 3 years of age, my family moved to Metro Detroit. Then when we were 7, we moved to Traverse City.
That wasn't
the question.
That wasn't the question.
The question was,
where were you born?
Where were you born?
Yep.
Less is more.
Do you have to almost rehearse with some people who before you put them on the stand?
If you put a witness on the stand, you have to anticipate what the prosecutor may or may not ask the witness based on the facts of the case,
right,
based on their observations of whatever the crime is that took place. You know, and the last thing you want to do is put the defendant on the stand.
Yeah.
You never put the defendant on the stand. And defendants always want to testify. I want to tell my story. I want to
exactly.
tell my story.
Because they think they're in the right.
But you want to know why they don't have to tell their story? Because they're innocent until proven guilty.
Correct.
You would think. As some say, I'm not saying it's me, but some say you're guilty until proven innocent.
Right.
But, okay, you're in trial. When you're talking to a jury in the very beginning, when you're voir dire-ing a jury in your opening statement,
okay,
I say to the jury, men and women of the jury, the honorable jury. I don't say the word honorable. It's for the judge.
Okay.
My client sitting there, Craig Russell.
Oh, I'm on trial now?
You're on trial.
Okay.
Because you talk too much.
That's true.
No, I like hearing you talk. Every morning, 25,000 days a week.
That's right.
My client, Craig Russell, will be sitting there throughout this entire process, and he does not have to say a word. He does not have to get up there and take the stand and convince you why he's innocent. It's the prosecutor's job to prove he's guilty.
Right. Beyond a reasonable doubt. Yep. I watched that.
It's their job. It's not my job.
Your job is to defend.
It's not our job to do the state's case for them. Right. Therefore, you will not hear from Mr. Russell, but you will hear from the prosecutor. And I'm telling you, and I wouldn't say I'm telling you, and after you hear the evidence, you will conclude, as I have, that the prosecutor has failed to meet his or her burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. I ask you to return a verdict of not guilty.
There you go.
But the thing is that, but again, it's not my job. My clients, 10 out of 10, most of the time, when they get arrested, there's enough facts to convict them.
Sure. But it's not your job to convict
them. It's not my job to convict them. It's my job to hold the state of Michigan to the fire, hold their feet to the fire to see if they can prove it.
Yep.
And I have to take a look at a lot of things. Probable cause to stop the vehicle. Probable cause to approach an individual. Fourth Amendment issues. Illegal search and seizure. Do I have to file a motion to suppress? Is there something there that will become the fruit of the poisonous tree? Now you did say
that I wouldn't have to testify unless the prosecutor calls me up.
No, the prosecutor can't call you.
Oh, really?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because they're not allowed to call a defendant to testify. It's just against the rules.
Well, how come, like, on Law and Order, you can call any witness to the crime?
Are you watching civil cases?
No.
No, the prosecutor can't compel a defendant to testify. There's something called the Fifth Amendment, right against self-incrimination.
True, but if
you have a right to remain silent, baby, you need to use it.
But you don't want to testify in self-incrimination, but you've got nothing to hide.
You're in radio, correct?
Yeah, correct.
I'm a defense attorney.
Yeah, I know. You're
the prosecutor has no authority, no rule of law to compel my client, the defendant, to testify. And I just said a moment ago, my client is going to sit throughout this entire trial and not say a word because it's not his job or her job to prove their innocence. It's the prosecutor's job to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt.
Now, I'm easily confused because I'm me. But you're talking about a civil case. Now, a trial.
No, I'm talking about a criminal case.
Or even in a criminal case, you can't
I don't do civil law. I'm talking about criminal cases.
Okay, but even in a case, somebody couldn't call me as a witness to come up and speak?
If you, in a civil case, again, folks, I'm not a civil attorney, but there's something called depositions. Hold on.
Okay.
Greg, hold on.
Okay.
You're on trial for talking too much.
I guess so.
And you're not helping your case here. You got to let the lawyer finish. I'm just having fun with you.
I know. I'm letting you finish, though.
I know. In a civil case, before it even gets to the point of trial, there's discovery as there is in criminal cases, but there's something called a deposition where you have a right to depose individuals on both sides.
Okay.
And that becomes a court record that can be referred to in front of the jury once you go to trial.
I'm going with it, man. I'm
not a civil attorney.
You're the expert here, but you've gone to law school and I haven't.
Who's gone to law school?
You.
Are you sure?
I hope so.
That Detroit College of Law, you sure? That's a degree.
I hope it is.
Of course it is.
Otherwise, there's some trouble.
Hey, we have cannabis stories to get to.
Yeah, eventually, when we get back to the second break, because we've got to take a break now, you can ask the question you were originally going to ask me about the border crossing.
Wait,
did I explain, though,
as a layperson, that as a defense attorney, when I'm in trial, that my client doesn't have to say a thing?
You have. You made that perfectly clear.
Do you understand why?
Yeah.
Because the prosecutor is going to present their case first. I don't even have to cross-examine anyone in a trial. I don't have to. I could just rest. After the prosecutor presents their case, the judge will, then turn to my side and say, Mr. Levitt, how would you like to proceed? Your Honor, I rest my case. Just like that.
If you don't think,
I'd like to make a closing statement to the jury.
If you don't think that they've done a good enough job of proving
that,
don't worry.
It's not my job.
Right.
Look, even if my client's guilty, we don't have to throw our arms up in court and say, if you hire me, oh, my client's guilty, take her away. You have to prove it. And I, as a defense attorney, I'm making you prove it.
That's right.
I'm not just going to court rolling over. Why would I do that? Hey, we have to go to break.
Yes, we do.
When we come back from break, I do have a question for you.
About Canada.
About cannabis, exactly. Canada, and driving.
Yeah, that's right. It's our Canada Spotlight show today on the Todd L. Lovett
Show. Greg Russell, take us out.
We'll be back.
For a white guy. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool, but he fakes it anyway. He may not have a clue and he may not have style, but everything he lacks, well, he makes up in denial.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Lovett Law Show, broadcasting in a beautiful, nutrient, green field.
And thank God it's warmer.
And it, well, warmer. It is warmer.
It's warmer.
It is warmer.
At least in Michigan, we've had the longest winter ever. It seems like winter is never ending. As of a week ago, it was still
Craig,
in the 20s and the teens and snowing.
You're on trial for talking too much.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But you are pretty fly.
For a white guy.
Pretty fly. We opened the show today.
With the Offspring from Canada.
Love the Offspring.
No, they're not really.
Offspring.
Yes. Now, before we get any farther, we have to clarify a couple of things. Because I asked you off the air, I'm like, you know, when we watch a TV show, you often see a defendant having to testify. And you're like, you explain to me how that defendant would end up having to be testifying against
right.
with the prosecutor. And I was confused. Explain that.
Well, a prosecutor has a right to cross-examine my witnesses just as I did
yep.
in their opening round of witnesses to cross-examine their witnesses. So if I put someone on the stand,
they can cross-examine.
Of course they can cross-examine.
But if I'm your client and you don't want me to go on the stand, you don't ever call me up and the prosecutor can't call
no,
me.
No, you're just sitting here throughout the entire trial.
That's what I was confused about. So, yeah. So let's put now here's
but
another.
But there are certain statements
okay.
as a defendant that you made
right.
To the officer upon being arrested that can be used against you.
Right.
Although.
Which is why they always say that. Unless
there's a Miranda issue.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah. Well, this is not going to be. We have to talk about canon cannabis.
I know, but Sam, this is a law show.
Right, but Miranda, when an officer first approaches you, all he or she is doing under the circumstances, is an investigation.
Right.
Unless they're in hot pursuit, they observed a crime. Now, they're not just investigating.
It's a different story.
They're in hot pursuit to place you under arrest.
Right.
But typically, if an officer approaches you out in public or pulls you over, all he or she is doing is an investigation, and you're volunteering the information. Now, you do have a right to remain silent at that point.
Yep.
But you should keep your hands on the wheel, provide identification, roll the window down, be respectful. Mm-hmm. But you don't have, if they say, oh, I smell marijuana, you know, most people will say, no, you don't.
Wrong answer.
Because in the United States, an officer can mislead and lie to you.
To get you to offer up information might be not relevant to
I
what
you I smell marijuana. About. I haven't smoked in my entire life. No, you don't. But they're still going to say that. Because, hold on, Craig Russell, are you not on trial for talking too much? You are not allowing the attorney defending you to finish the question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know.
We're all over the place right now.
Well, now we're talking about law right now.
Right, but the point is, we were talking about when can a statement be used against you in trial, albeit the defendant is not going to take the stand.
Right.
There are certain times where you've made statements. You volunteer. Maybe you made a confession.
Mm-hmm.
That confession at times is going to come in. So as an attorney, you have to be aware of the rules of evidence, the constitutionality of the stop. What took place after the stop? Are there any Miranda violations? Was the statement coerced? Did the officer, you know, coerce an individual to waive their constitutional right to remain silent? Look, we support law enforcement. Sincerely, I'm a defense attorney. Oh, yeah. We say it every week.
Yep.
I have friends, family across the board who are in all forms of law enforcement. We love
doing
our
their job.
We love
us.
Law enforcement. Yep. They're just doing their job, and we love our veterans.
Yeah.
But let's fast forward to, you had a question in regards to hearsay.
Well, yeah. When does hearsay come in?
So let's say the prosecutor puts someone on the stand, and the witness is testifying as to what a third party told them about my client.
Okay.
Okay.
I heard from Billy that Jimmy right. was using marijuana before he got in the car and killed that guy.
Hearsay.
Hearsay.
Here's why. The witness testifying can only testify, as far as I'm concerned, to their direct observations of what may or may not have taken place in regards to my client. If they got the information from a third party,
it could be so skewed and so wrong.
Where's yeah. the strength of that evidence? So under the rules of evidence, in every state, we have the Michigan MRE, Michigan Rules of Evidence. That was one of the toughest classes in law school, the Michigan Rules of Evidence.
I bet.
But the court and trial is controlled by court rules, rules of civil criminal procedure, and the rules of evidence. There we go.
There you go.
Let's get to what we really like talking about. Cannabis in Canada.
There you go.
So here's what's going on.
Here's our spotlight this week is on cannabis in Canada.
And I want to welcome, by the way, all the listeners who listen to our podcast from around the world. Give us an email, toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com. Let us know where you're from. Let us know what platform, you know, what app, what website you're listening to. And let us know who you are, and we'll give you a big shout out.
And where you're from, too.
And where you're from, yeah.
Including all the people in Canada who listen, because we have quite a few substantial downloads from Canada. So that's why we put Canada this week, because there's some Canadian cannabis issues going on, including the border crossing story.
This summer, cannabis, I refer to marijuana as cannabis.
Right.
Is legal in Canada.
As of July of 2018.
Correct.
That's correct.
There's an issue with the borders. Canada is concerned because the federal government in our country, our great country, is going to intensify the scrutiny of Canadians trying to get into this country, therefore backing up the border of Canadians trying to get into this country.
It already because is going to be lengthy at times to be.
If you've ever admitted to using marijuana and you're a Canadian, you cannot get into this country.
You can be banned for
life. You can
be
banned. But why would you go to the border? Listen, if a border agent questions you, do not lie. Border agents have broad discretion.
Sure.
No.
Well, they're federal agents.
Right.
They are agents of the federal government.
But here's the thing. You have to answer certain questions, and other questions you don't. Now, I'm not telling anybody out there to lie, but if you're a Canadian coming into the United States and the question is, have you ever used marijuana in your life? I mean, if it's a medicine.
Yeah, how would you answer that, though?
Exactly.
Because if you say no and you're lying, that's bad.
In the
but
United
if you
States,
don't say
right.
anything, is that incriminate you?
Well,
in
the United States, we have federal HIPAA laws. If you're using medicine, why do you have to disclose that you're using medicine? What type of medicine? All the other type of medicine in this country is protected under the HIPAA laws. Why is marijuana always discriminated against? See, that's where I have issues, and I complain about it week in and week out. But Canada's concerned, and they actually, senators from Canada and their parliament, whatever they refer to it as, came to our country, and who'd they meet with?
They met with Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who is a big proponent of making sure the federal marijuana statute is adhered to the letter. In other words, marijuana is federally illegal in the United States, and he would like us to spend a lot more time cracking down on people who use marijuana, even in states where it's legal medicinally or even recreationally, because it's still overall the federal government, it's illegal.
But do you understand how Canada's concerned?
Oh, yeah.
That the United States Border Patrol agents, who I have nothing but respect for, I actually have a friend. Yeah. I have a friend who's a Border Patrol agent, and he works so hard, and I got nothing but respect for our Border Patrol agents, both on the northern and southern border.
They are protecting our country.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But I can understand the scrutiny that may intensify of Canadians trying to come to this country because they're concerned. Here's the thing. If you're a Canadian, you cannot and should not attempt to bring marijuana into the United States.
Even if it's into a state that is legalized.
You can't.
You can't.
And if you're a United States citizen and the state you're living in, such as Michigan, once we recreationalize it, do not try to bring marijuana or attempt to cross the border with it. You are in a heap of hurt.
Yeah.
A world of hurt.
Yes.
I once got stopped at the border.
Really?
Yeah, I got pulled over.
For?
Well, you know, this is years ago. You know how they ask you, you know, where you're going?
Right.
How long are you going to be there for?
Yep.
And where you're from? The
did
question.
You not know where you were from?
Yeah, I my entire life, I always wanted to say the following.
Okay.
I didn't say Michigan. Okay. I didn't say the United States. I said planet Earth. I'm an Earthling. This guy.
I'm sure that went over guy, real well.
Well, let me tell you. And where are you going? How long are you going to be there? Where are you from? Abe, I'm from planet Earth. Because if you think about it, Craig.
It's true.
We are all Earthlings.
Yeah, we are.
We have,
that wasn't the answer he wanted, though.
We have broken down ourselves into specific groups of people so nearly defined. Right. I think we.
Country, state, cities, townships. Addresses.
Blocks.
Yes.
Beliefs. When it comes down to it, if something was going to happen to planet Earth, we're all Earthlings.
Yeah, we're all.
We're not fighting each other.
Nope.
It's like The Walking Dead. When there's zombies out there, it's all of us against the zombies.
So I'm assuming it went really well for you saying you were an Earthling.
No, it did
telling
not go
the truth,
well.
But
nah, he pulled me. Pulled, and I was younger. We were cutting across Canada to get to the East Coast. I mean, I was in college. I thought it was funny. It wasn't funny.
Not at all.
No, it wasn't funny.
Not at all.
No, my
not
friends were not happy. Hey, where are you from? Planet Earth. But Canada, you know, I can understand the officials of Canada being concerned with all the Canadians trying to cross the border and the scrutiny the United States is going to put on them. But as the United States, we have a right to scrutinize whoever we want, however we want, of those trying to get into our country.
That's right, because that's how we keep our country safe. And, of course, in the past, you know, 15, 20 years, this has become even a bigger deal. We do have to take a break, but there's another reason why the Canadians are concerned about this border crossing that we haven't even touched on yet.
Hey, by the way, we do have to go to break, but in this country, if you're convicted of drinking and driving offenses, certain drug crimes, you are barred from entering Canada.
Yeah, they take that
you
seriously.
You cannot get into Canada. When I tell men and women who I represent who are convicted of impaired, under 21 with a BAC, drinking and driving, some kind of possessory drug crime or some other crimes, guess what? No fishing in Canada, no hunting, no vacation. You're not going to see Parker Schnabel, who I love, up in the Yukon. I'm not making fun of Parker Schnabel. I love that guy. That kid's amazing. But there is something called Canadian rehabilitation, and I got a good buddy of mine, David Rosenblatt, who's an attorney up in Toronto. We're going to have him on the show in a couple weeks. He's going to tell the listeners, if you are one of those listeners and cannot get into Canada, by the way, why is the Queen of England still on the Canadian money? I'm just wondering, what is that? I thought Canada was a separate country from England.
I don't think you took your pills this morning, did
no,
you?
No, I'm not even medicated.
I know you're not.
All right, let's go to break.
For a white guy. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool, but he fakes it anyway. He may not have a clue and he may not have style, but everything he lacks, well, he makes up in denial.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the American-Canadian border, trying to get into Canada, but Craig Russell's having trouble because he wanted to tell the border agents in Canada that he's an Earthling, not where he's truly from. Craig.
No, you know what I
never tell the border agents you're from planet Earth. Yeah. Answer their questions.
I've learned my lesson from you. You know, actually, I told them.
What?
I told them I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Give it to me, baby. By the way, in the last segment, for those that just tuned in, and pretty much only Amish listen to our show, and we love the Amish listeners, all 20 of them.
What do they download the podcast
app? I'm not sure what they download
the podcast app.
Yeah, there's an Amish app, okay, by the way. But we were talking about hearsay.
Right.
I didn't really talk too much about it, but there are exceptions to the hearsay rule.
Really?
I want to make sure I give out the correct information here. I don't want to talk about hearsay. I don't want to talk about civil cases. I'm not a civil attorney. I'm a defense attorney.
Right.
And you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that my client is guilty of each and every count that you're trying to charge my client, convict my client with.
Sure. I thought you explained the hearsay rule pretty easily. Yeah. It's pretty clear cut and dry.
But again, my client does not have to do anything.
That's right.
He or she is going to sit there throughout the whole trial.
Look pleasant.
I don't even have to cross-examine any of the prosecutor's witnesses. I could just sit there, let the prosecutor present his or her case, and just rest.
Now, have you ever had a situation?
I mean, truthfully, I've only done that once, and it worked out to my favor because it was a horrible case. The prosecutor should never have brought forth this case. And prosecutors, if they're going to prosecute a case,
they're going to make because they think they're going to win.
They think they're going to win. They're going to make a determination from the very start whether or not what the strength and weaknesses of their cases are. Yeah, go ahead. What was your question?
Well, exactly. You're not going to take a case that you think you're going to lose. You're not going to take
right.
Have you ever had a situation where you've just been sitting and you've not had your client do anything but just sit there, and have they like almost worked themselves into being guilty, like they've sweated a lot or made body language to the point of where they were, you know, you could just tell they're squirming because they're uncomfortable, right, because they don't think they're, because they know they're guilty? I mean, have you ever had that before?
Here's the situation.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, speaking of situation, I've been watching the Jersey Shore show on
the
MTV.
Reboot, the Jersey Shore Vacation.
It reminds me of my cousins growing up. I can't help but watch that. Sure. I know those guys.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Look, when you're in trial or you're at a hearing before a magistrate or judge, the most important thing that I tell my client, remain calm.
Sure.
You're going to hear some things that you are not going to agree with. You're going to hear some things said about you that you do not like. It's not pleasant. It's very uncomfortable for whoever you are out there, despite what type of case it is, whether you're going through a divorce or you're being sued or whatever it is. It's not a pleasant experience having to go to court. It's even worse experience when you're sitting there being prosecuted, accused of doing something, and people are saying things about you. I tell my client, sit still, stay calm, do not make faces at the prosecutor, do not make any facial remarks, do not sigh, do not, are you kidding me? You know, don't say a thing. I know these clients, and you get to know them and their personalities. You have to work with them. The other thing is even just as important. You tell the men and women, their family members and friends who are supporting them,
to shut up as well.
Do not look at the witnesses. Do not look at the jury. You sit there just as calm. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Oh, I get it. That's why I was asking the question.
Oh, yeah, because we're human.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And we have emotions.
Look at you and I. We are fired up. Don't you ever just want to stand up and say, by darn it, I am innocent. This is BS. No, don't do that.
Any of that.
Yeah, let the lawyers do their job.
That's right.
Hey, but there's a but.
But?
I think as an attorney, I always give my clients a legal pad to make notes. If they want to say something to me, don't talk to me. Do not talk during the trial. Write something down. When I can, I will look at it. When we take a break, I will look at it. When we have recess, I will look at it.
This is why you've been doing this for 24 years. You know what you're doing. You're a smart guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt.
989
7726000. And by the way, be sure to subscribe to our show now on Spotify,
iTunes, Podbean, all these other platforms.
YouTube.
YouTube. We can't forget about YouTube.
Yeah, it's just the Todd Levitt Law Show on YouTube. Look for the blue logo And in the coming weeks, we're going to have live video of the show on YouTube.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah.
And there's the other thing. When you subscribe, then you don't have to worry about finding anything. It'll just automatically populate right into your app or wherever you listen to your podcast. If you subscribe to us, you'll just get the new show every week. So it makes it as simple as possible. This is our Canada Cannabis Spotlight Show because Canada, the third or fourth biggest country in the world size-wise, is legalizing cannabis in July of this year. And so what we've been talking about was the border crossing situation. People from Canada trying to bring cannabis in the United States, bad idea. You can be banned from coming into the United States if you've ever used cannabis. And the Canadian officials are concerned about the lengthy delays of people who maybe forget, who don't know, who try and do that. I'm going to bring up another reason why this is a problem. And of course, as we always talk about in the show, it has to do with money. Do you know what a tariff is?
Of course.
What is a tariff?
It's a tax.
That's right. What has been the big deal lately? The tariffs on aluminum and steel put forth by the Trump administration. Okay. Canada is going to be excused from that tariff because we have a good working relationship with them, along with NAFTA, et cetera, et cetera. The Canadians are concerned not only about their citizens trying to come in the United States and that being causing a delay, but also commerce. We are our largest trading partner in the entire world, the United States, the most powerful economy in the world, is Canada. Lots of Canadian exports come into Canada every day. And if you all of
I
a
love
sudden,
Canada, by
and
the
if
way.
All of a sudden a truck driver who's trying to bring in some wood or some steel or some whatever is stuck at the border for 20 hours trying to deliver his load, that's going to cause problems. That's going to cause business problems. That's going to cause issues.
Did you hear what you just said?
I know.
What did you just say?
Hey, if you have a load of iron ore in your truck, you
trying
have a
to
load.
Deliver his load. Craig, we are a family show.
It's a law show. Did I say anything
you
wrong?
Said trying to deliver his load.
But the point of that is going to cause huge commerce problems.
You got a potty mouth.
That's what they're concerned about. Not only do I talk too much, I've got a potty mouth as well.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
That's going to cause problems. And that's where, again, like everything, it has to do with
money. We don't talk politics on the show, but I'm going to tell you something that I've been complaining about for years.
Which is?
Our president is 100,000% correct when he says there's been a trade deficit with other countries.
Oh, yeah.
I would say about 8-9 years ago, I had a friend who was living in the States. He was from China.
Okay.
And we attempted to put a business together to sell products in China.
Okay.
It was impossible. It was impossible.
Yeah.
The fees, the taxes, tape, just to get into that country. Yep. How is it that all these countries around the world can sell whatever they want in our country, but it makes it so difficult for American goods and products to be sold in their countries? There's been an unfair trade balance for decades. I don't know the right way to go about correcting that.
Right.
I'm just not a world economist.
Sure.
But I've known about the trade deficit because I pay attention and I experienced it firsthand. We were trying, what we had to go through to figure out how to legally ship products back to China, because I had a friend from China.
Right.
And he had family over there.
Right.
And it was difficult.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that it's about time we did something. Now, how to go about doing it? I don't know the answer to that. So I can't comment on, you know, that the government is doing it the correct way. I just know there's been a huge trade deficit. By the way, Craig Russell.
Yes, God love it.
In Canada, you can get a degree from the prestigious McGill University.
Get out of here.
And learn how to grow weed.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need to take a break, but when we come back, we will talk more about that and other things Canadian cannabis-wise, because it's our Canada.
Love Canada.
Cannabis What's Spotlight Show.
By the way, I want to ask you a question, too, when we come back.
Okay, you'll ask me a question.
As a passenger in a motor vehicle, what are some of the things that annoy you the most about the person driving you that they're doing while they're transporting you?
Ooh.
That's what I want to ask you.
All right, we'll ask them when we come back.
We'll take us out.
For a white guy. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, cinco, seis.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the United States
of weed.
Of weed. And we are not Democrats or Republicans. We are
Americans.
Coming back strong with Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
From Californians.
From what?
They're from California.
What group?
The Offspring.
I thought you just said they were from Canada.
I was lying.
Well, I know you were.
It's our Canada spotlight show, so I was trying to tie it in together.
That's why I'm not going to put you on a stand.
That's
right, because you will
I'm a liar.
You will say too much. Oh,
that's why. So our Canada spotlight show. We were talking before we went to break. Well, first, but you had to ask me a question about annoying habits in a vehicle. We'll get to that after we talk about this cannabis college thing. Much like in the United States and in Michigan, we have a big microbrew renaissance coming on here.
Yeah, but Northern Michigan University is now
and
teaching
Central
students.
Are doing,
no,
doing classes.
Northern Michigan University has jumped into the cannabis education.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The cannabis thing. Because I'm saying there's a lot of universities in Michigan, especially, where you can get a degree on how to brew beer and brew the business of beer brewing and microcraft beer and things like that. Well, now there's a university in Canada where you can take a course on learning how to grow cannabis and be a cannabis.
Prestigious student. McGill, the Faculty of the Agricultural and Environmental Sciences at McGill University, is offering people with a background in plant sciences the unique opportunity to learn, folks, how to cultivate marijuana as part of its academic programming. And you know something? When the heck are the universities in this country going to stop teaching students stuff they just don't need to know?
Exactly.
Because, you know, look, I'm not saying you shouldn't go and get an education. I went for higher education.
Sure.
Wouldn't be here today.
That's right.
But I would say, I'm going to take a lot of flack for this. 95% of the classes I took have had no relevancy in my life. Starting off from elementary school, junior high, high school, through college. In fact, here's a criticism of universities. It's a business.
Sure.
They have lobbyists who work at state and federal levels, mostly state, to ensure that they keep getting funding.
Well, yeah.
To me, universities are so caught up in making sure that the professors keep their jobs and their department heads and they can keep this going and that going that they at times overlook the best interest of the student. It's a business.
Oh, yeah.
Think about this business. You're going to have tens of thousands of people come to your business, and they're going to go out and get all these loans to pay you.
Mm-hmm. It's a great business.
What a great business model.
It's a great
model.
Business for the university.
What a great business model. Think about that, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Think back to your education. Mm-hmm. I love Central Michigan University.
Oh, yeah.
I
went to school.
Advocate higher education.
Very much so.
At the college level, go as high as you can. Go as high as you can, baby.
All right.
Okay, I get off on a tangent.
Really?
But I think it's appropriate that more universities start to do what trade schools are doing. Teach somebody how to grow cannabis in a state where it's legal or a country where it's legal. Well, teach them how to weld. Teach them mechanics. How about all the repairs we need in this country? Who's going to fix our country?
People who should be learning this stuff in schools, not necessarily learning about things that I'm never going to need.
What use is it going to be for me to learn about something that happened 10,000 years ago in history?
Well,
I need to know how to get it. No, I need to know, unless I'm going to be a historian.
Yeah, but
here's a question. I need to get out and graduate with a degree that I can utilize and start making money right away. How many people do you know that graduate from college with a degree and never even end up working in that field that they originally went to school for?
Agreed.
Okay, there's my point.
That's
right
one
there.
Thing.
There's
but
my point.
There are some things, now I'm going to say history, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. You need to teach history because there are bad things that happen in the history of this world.
And
I understand what you're saying, though.
I love higher education. Right. We love Central. We love Central Michigan University, by the way, folks, is in the middle of the Mitten.
That's
middle
where
state
we are.
Yeah, yep. We're chips.
Yep.
Fire up chips.
Fire up chips. But for this thing where they're going to teach them how to college campuses in Canada how to grow cannabis is good because it's legal there in July of this year, and next year they're going to start selling legal edibles. They got to know bad people who know how to do this correctly.
I think,
and how to do this the right way, and they're going to need that because it's going to be a huge agricultural product for the country of Canada.
I think, and as far as education, you know, when I look back to going through elementary school, junior high, and high school, I think that it would be more beneficial if we only went to school maybe 2-3 days a week, if that, Because I think, you know, parents love the fact that students are in school all day so they could work, obviously.
Sure.
I don't think it's necessary to be in school 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and all that homework. I mean, what do you really learn? Think about it. I mean, it's important to learn social skills, how to interact with other people.
Yep.
Do you really need to go to school 5 days a week, 6-7 hours a day for that?
In Colorado, they've already gone back to in Denver, Colorado, they've gone to a 4-day-a-week school.
So I have a point.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Very much so.
Hey, by the way, I have a question in regards to what annoys you the most about as a passenger in someone's motor vehicle.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Somebody who doesn't know how to drive. I very rarely am a passenger. Usually I'm the one.
Yeah, I can't let someone control what's going on.
But, well, that's a personality trait that's completely different from this question. But I, you know, riding with somebody who doesn't know how to drive well.
And but what is that? What is not driving well? How are they driving?
Using your turn signal, driving in the left lane and not driving in the right lane. Use the left lane to pass, right lane to drive. Not coming to a complete stop at a stoplight. You know, basic driving skills.
Imagine being a defense attorney such as I am, mm-hmm. and knowing exactly the civil infractions, the points, and the fines that someone's going to get. Whenever I'm driving with somebody and they fail to use their turn signal,
uh-huh.
I think that's the most common violation.
Oh, sure.
I think law enforcement might agree with me.
Far away.
And I always say to them, do you realize that you just committed a civil infraction? And I tell them how many points it is. I do not like riding with other people.
It's rough to do sometimes.
Yeah. So I have
a
couple.
To do with control.
I have a number of things.
Okay.
And I've talked about it in the past. Somebody that has to have the car, you know, the air condition up as high as it can go.
Yep.
When it's not that hot out.
Uh-huh.
Very annoying. Another thing I cannot stand is when it's starting to rain and the windshield wipers are not going at the same pace as the rain falling on the windshield.
Right.
So if it's just starting to drizzle, or the person that lets it rain and rain and rain and doesn't turn the windshield wipers on, I will say, you're going to turn those wipers on because I can't see a thing. If I can't see, how can you see?
What's even worse is when somebody's got...
Do you agree?
Very much so. When somebody's got the windshield wipers on, full blast, and it's not raining that hard.
Same thing. It's the opposite.
It's the opposite effect, but yeah. It's the same thing. They've got automatic windshield wipers that will go on and turn off when it senses the rain, but sometimes those don't work either.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
You're going on a road trip.
All right.
It's your vehicle. After 6 hours, you allow someone to drive.
All right.
Does that person get to choose what music they play? Does that person get to choose how warm or hot the vehicle is? It's your
Depends
vehicle.
Depends on who the person is.
It's a good question.
Depends on the person. If the person is just a friend, no. That person is a romantic interest, they have a little more say in the matter. But if it's just a buddy or a friend, staying on my station, we're keeping it at
Listen,
high temperature. If you're just driving.
I have a friend of mine. I'm going to out him right now.
Okay.
Piz Dog, my cousin.
Okay.
Robert J. Pizzielli.
That's right.
He listens to classical music.
Okay.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
If you're attorney Todd L. Levin and you're a headbanger, you want to listen to some Ozzy Osbourne or Black Sabbath, and you allow him to drive, and he's going to turn on violins and piano music.
Do you like Culture Club?
Oh, there you go with Culture Club.
Big Hair told me I had to give you a hard time about Culture Club. We're going to play Do You Really Want to Hurt Me after the show.
Now
I did it. He's speechless.
I'm not speechless because about 3 weeks ago, it was Thursday morning, you played Culture Club, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? And it was stuck in my head all day, and I've been playing Pretty Fly for a White Guy to open and close the show, and that's a song that's been in my head. I think that song is strong enough to overcome any Culture Club references. So you can talk about Culture Club all you want.
Boy George?
I've got the Offspring.
Boy George?
Doesn't matter. I got the Offspring in my head.
He's from Canada.
He is not.
I know.
He's from England.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Hey, we got to go.
Yeah, we got to go. Show's over, man. Good show.
Craig Russell, great show.
Yeah.
Be sure to check us out all over the place.
Download us on Podbean. You can get us on SoundCloud. We're on Spotify, iTunes, all over the place. YouTube. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and check out the podcast. And you can go back and listen to past episodes as well, which is great, too.
By the way.
A great resource.
By the way, a week from today's show.
Okay.
I've got some great stories to tell.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have to go somewhere.
Okay.
I got some great stories.
All right. Here you go.
It's
you
not
ready?
About an individual. It's just about a place I'm going.
All right. We're wrapping up the Canada show. Oh,
Canada.
Our home and native land. true.
My country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, for Allah.
With glowing heart we see.
My country, tis. All right. Listen, I'm not even going to say what I normally say. Just take us out.
All right.
Let's hear some Offspring. We'll see you next week.
Now he's getting a tattoo, yeah, he's getting ink done. He asked for a 13, but they drew a 31. Friends say he's trying too hard, and he's not quite hip. But in his own mind, he's the dopest trap.
Give it to me, baby.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show is brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, and Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.